Blog Talk Radio.
New Beginnings is not just for the young. We'd like to thank you for tuning in once again to Blog Talk Radio. We are New Beginnings Ministry, and we're here every Tuesday, every Wednesday at from 7 o'clock. Amen. This evening we have our guest speaker, Pastor Dawn Mixon from out of Long Island, New York, who comes on regularly and has a powerful message each and every time. So we look forward to moving over into Long Island and turning it over to her. Before we do that, we'd like to ask that you would continue to keep in prayer Pastor Paul Robinson from out of Tennessee, Minister Bill Robinson from out of Atlanta, Sister Jeanette Dickerson from out of Alabama, and continued prayer for Stuart Hawthorne from out of Cleveland, Ohio. For those of you that tuned in by internet, if you would like to participate, you can call 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054, and you can be connected if you have a question or you would like to participate in this interactive Bible study. We're going to move on over into Long Island. Pastor Dawn Mixon, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Always a blessing to hear your voice, and we always look forward to what God has placed on your heart. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. God bless you. I want to ask you to forgive me on tonight. He may have sent out a topic in our scripture, but when I sent that out, it was a while. It was the week before, and so actually, the Lord has given us into another direction on tonight. So, if you bear with me, we're going to be coming out of Philippians tonight, Philippians 4, and we're going to be reading verse 6 out of Philippians 4, and we're going to be dealing with some verses in Philippians 4. Before we do that, I just want to have a word of prayer for all of those who are on the line. If you're on the line and you know someone that needs to hear a word from the Lord this time, text them, tweet them, Facebook them, and let them know that we are on the line tonight. I would appreciate it if everyone would call in and participate on tonight in what we want to share from the Lord on tonight. So our Father and our God, we thank you tonight, and thank you for your wondrous works towards us. We thank you for being so kind to us and blessing us with so many things that we have. And God, we do not take for granted all that we have. We know that everything we have is because of you. We have our life, our breath, and our strength because of you. And we want to give you thanks for all of it. I thank you for those who are in on the line tonight by way of internet or by way of the phone. I pray, oh God, that they receive something from you that will be life-changing unto them, that God will use that we out ourselves out the way, and that we will hear from you. Oh God, we recognize that faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of the Lord. And so we give you thanks on tonight. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. I'm going to start at verse 4, chapter 4 of Philippians. Philippians 4, starting at verse 4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I want to take for a subject on today, you must get on your face to get what's in his hand. You must get on your face to get what's in God's hand. For us to understand who God is, we must seek after him. It's very important that we seek after the face of God. We should pursue God as if our life depends on it, because the truth of the matter is our life really does depend on seeking after faith to God. We have to hunger, we have to thirst, as the Bible says, after his righteousness. But more so, we have to hunger after things of God and not so much the things of the world. I think one of the reasons why a lot of us lose out on the things of God and the benefits of God is because we're seeking after the wrong things. The Bible lets us know, first seek ye the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, add all these things, other things shall be added unto us. And so when we get our priorities straight of what we're supposed to seek after, there's a song that they sing, even in our church, I'm chasing after you, no matter what I have to do. And somebody would ask the question, why are we chasing after God if God is everywhere? And what I've recognized is that God, he is everywhere, and he is omnipresent, but he's not in everyone. And so what we must understand is that God, in order for us not to chase out the presence of God, because we're in his presence, we're always in his presence, but we've got to get to the point where the presence of God gets in us, because we can be surrounded by his presence. Our aim and goal is that the presence of God be in us. And so when I get an understanding of how much I need God in me, because what you must understand is that God is not going to allow himself to be in a body or in the presence of a body that is full of garbage. One thing I've realized is that God and the devil can never be roommates any longer. When he kicked Satan out of heaven, that was it. He was no longer allowed into the presence, into the heavens of God, or a roommate of God, or in his kingdom. And so, if God kicked him out, yet he resides in you, then there is no place for God to be. And so, what we have to do is seek after the presence of God to get inside of us. And it's very important when we understand that God's presence is everywhere, and when it becomes to the point where we seek after his presence and we want more of who God is, and we start acting as if we're looking after him and chasing after him. One of the greatest things that Solomon ever asked God for was for his wisdom. See, what I realized is that when I'm in the presence of God and God's presence is in me, I become a part of who God is. Because one thing I've always learned is that if you become a product of your environment, who you are around will dictate to you and help build your character, help build who you are. And so when you have, as I look at my children and my grandchildren, there are a lot of things that they pick up. They pick up because they're a part of me and I'm a part of them. But one of the things they pick up, a lot of things they pick up is because they've been in my presence. They pick up your faith. They pick up your dialect. Something I realized, that if you have an animal, I've shared this before, if you have a dog, your dog understands your dialect. It understands your language. But if you get a dog from another country or a dog from another family who does not speak the same language, the dog is not going to understand you. Because it only heeds to the command of the language that it knows. And so if I have put myself in the place where I know the voice of God, I know his dialect, I know his language, a stranger I will not follow. So you can say as much as you want to Fido in the English language, come here, Fido, come here, Fido. He's not going to come because you're not speaking in his language. And so what we must understand, we have to get the language of God. We have to get the wisdom of God. And in order for us to get to the language of God, the wisdom of God, we have to have the mind of God. Well, somebody said, well, Pastor, how do I get that? How do I get into the place where not only I am in his presence, but his presence is in me? Well, that is the importance of prayer. When I look at the word prayer, what is prayer? Prayer is a devout petition to God, or an object or place of worship. It is a spiritual communion. This is what I want us to understand. It is a spiritual communion with God in worship. It is supplication. It's giving thanksgiving to him. It's adoration. And it's also a time of confession. When I was growing up, I was always told that prayer is the key, but faith unlocks the door. Prayer is the key, but faith unlocks the door. You can have as much faith as you want, but if you don't have the key, you cannot get in. And so one of the first things we have to understand is the first things we have to do is get into the place where we commune with God. And that's one of the reasons why so many believers miss out on the benefits of God is because we don't talk to God. Mm-hmm. We talk to God in our need. We talk to God in our want, but we don't commune with God. And I've come to the understanding that there are a lot of people, believe it or not, who trust more in man than they trust in God. And I said, God, well, why is it that we trust more in man than we trust in God? And it's because we have built relationship with men. We have built relationship with mothers. We built relationships with our fathers. We built relationships with sisters and brothers. We commune with them every day. And the reason why we get a better understanding and we get a better trust with those that we feel are trustworthy is because we sat down and we had communion with them and we talked with them. And they watched this. They said, well, you asked them to do something and when they did it and they followed through with it, over the years, you built a trust with them. But you've never gotten to a point where you built a trust with God because you haven't taken the time to get on your face where we need to be and lay before God. And before we can ask God for what's in his hand, we've got to lay on our face and ask God what's in his heart.
That's good.
What is in your heart for me? Because when I commune with God and God tells me what's in his heart, it becomes a part of my heart. Because his will becomes a part of my will. Because I want what Jesus wants for me. I want to live the way Jesus wants me to live. And the reason why it is so hard, believers, to do or walk in the will of God or walk in the ways of God, it's just simple communication with God. It is so simple. But do you know that the enemy will make you feel uneasy or uncomfortable about talking or talking with God in prayer? You'll be surprised how many people feel uncomfortable talking in prayer, but they don't have a problem talking to themselves. It's so crazy for you to sit there and talk to yourself. They have no problem walking around with earpieces in their head, on their ears, talking, and we see them in the car talking to people on the phone, but we don't see no device. We don't see anything, no phone to their ear. All we see is them talking, and there's nobody in the car with them. It looks crazy. But you are speaking to someone else, but to everybody else, it just looks like you're talking to yourself. If that's not crazy to you, then why is it so crazy to take the time, turn off your TV, turn off your devices, turn everything off, and sit down and commune with God? It is the key. People of God, believers of God, it is the key to get you what you need out of the hand of God. Bible says, first seek ye the kingdom of heaven and all his righteousness, kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. You can't get the added until you seek. Seek and it shall be found. Knock and the door shall be open. And so let us get to the place where we're chasing after God. And let's get an understanding that the blessings of God comes with the communing of God. And the reason why we are more, why we're able to get the things of God is because we trust him. And what do I need to do to get to God? See, a lot of times we're looking and we're seeking for the wrong things. And that's why I love Solomon, because he just wanted God's wisdom. But because he asked for God's wisdom, God said, I'm going to give you way more than that. I'm going to bless you with the things you didn't even ask for that you have the benefits to have, because all you're seeking after is my wisdom, my thoughts,
Can I tell you, if you can tap into the things of God, we will never be able to tap into the full wisdom of God. But when we tap into God's wisdom, if I can get a pinky finger worth of his wisdom, I'll be powerful enough for the rest of my life. Because I can't handle every thought of God. I cannot handle the whole mind of God. But if he can give us a portion of who he is, that's why it's so powerful, because you can tell when people have been laying before the Lord. Because what happens is you hear the voice of God. Because if I've laid before the Lord, you've laid before the Lord, somebody else laid before the Lord, we're all speaking the same language.
That's good.
So when we speak the same language, we're hearing the same thing. And so that's why when God gives you a promise or he prophesies something in your life, he's speaking to somebody else, and they'll come and share it with you, and they'll tell you what God has already said to you, and they confirm it because you're speaking the same language as the one who has communed with God. It's a powerful thing, people of God, to tap in to the things of God, because it opens up your life to a whole nother world spiritually.
Amen.
And what I could not get from trusting in man, I now know that I can get from God, only because I sat down and I talked with him. And I don't care how crazy I look to everybody else, it's a wonderful thing, because the benefits of God and the blessings of God, because God lets us know in 3 John 1 and 2, 3 John, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul shall prosper. God already has a design for you. He already wants good for you. He knows the thoughts that he has for you, and they are good and not of evil. And so if God's thought for us is of good and not evil, whatever he set and plans for us is already in the place and in the place where it's going to benefit us for the better. But how do I tap into that? I lay before God. And the thing about it is, we meet people, and there's some people that you talk to every day or may talk to every other day, and you have no more to share with them today than you did yesterday. Well, what you calling me for? I'm just calling to see how you doing. And so that's how we build relationships, and then we learn what happens to them through the course of their day or maybe the course of their week. And now I know better, more about them, because I sat down and I talked to them. I called them frequently from time to time. Well, how do you think you're going to get to know God? Sometimes, have you ever been on the phone? And I know this sometimes happens when people are in relationship with one another, intimate relationships with one another. When they first get together, they want to talk to each other every minute and every hour of the day, to the point where they have no more words left to say. So all they hear is the air going through the phone until somebody decides to hang up. So it's not so much, watch this, you saying anything to me. It's just the fact that your presence is there with me, even though you could be miles away. Well, God is right here present. Sometimes you don't have to say nothing. Sometimes you can just sit and listen and let God speak to your spirit. And the reason I say this a lot, too, I say a lot of times, we go in prayer the wrong way. We go in prayer asking God for this, and that. Before we go into prayer and saying, God, we admonish God, we adore God, we lift God high, but we never give God the opportunity to communicate with us. We never allow God to have any say-so in the conversation. So if you're the only one talking, that means you're not having a conversation. If you're the only one speaking, there is no room for me to hear anything about you, because I'm telling you everything about me, everything that I need, everything that I want, everything that I think. Well, God said, there's some things I think, there's some things I want. And somebody said, well, I can't hear God's voice audibly. that I could be sitting and something will drop in my spirit and it'll take me to a scripture. And I have to go look up and say, okay, God, you're dealing with peace right now. You want me to go to peace. And he'll give me scriptures and different things that will feed my spirit and let me know when I don't have peace what I need to do. But what he does is he'll drop in your spirit where you need to go to find out. And this is what we're talking about, seeking after God.
That's good.
How do I seek after God? I seek after God through scripture.
Mm-hmm.
God speaks to my spirit. He tells my spirit mm-hmm. where to go. I go there, and it imparts in me what I need for that season and time. That's how God works with me. And so mm-hmm. when I know that there's certain things that happen, God will share it, or I can be in a service, or I can be in a conversation, and somebody mm-hmm. will speak a word in my life, not knowing it was just pure conversation, and all of a sudden God will use somebody in a conversation to drop something in my spirit for me to seek after something that they said that ignited my spirit to go to the scripture and find out what God has to say to me concerning what he is capable of doing, what he wants from my life, what I need to do in order to get the things that God wants out of my life.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta pay attention. Allow your spirit to be open to hear from
mm-hmm.
God. But the first thing we gotta do is learn how to trust him.
Mm-hmm.
We've come to the place, it's a sad, sad thing when we will trust man more than we would trust God.
Mm-hmm.
And man will fail us every time. The problem with people in general, we are impatient. And because our impatience, we are unable to tap into the things of God if we would simply wait on God. My thing is, if God's not in a rush, why are you?
Amen.
Because he's the one that's going to fix the whole situation. And if he's going to fix the whole situation, he's going to do it in his time frame, when it's
yes.
supposed to be done, how it's supposed to be done, and all I have to do, your simple, easy job is to trust. Well, what happens is the enemy will bring fear to your heart that it's not going to take place, and then you're going to have to deal with the repercussions of what's going to happen if it fails. But I know that there is no failure in God, and even when it seems like the bottom is about to drop out, before you fall, he'll pick you up.
Amen.
And so when we get to understanding that I got to trust God when I can't see what he's doing, that's good. I've got to
mm-hmm.
trust God when I can't see what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
See, it's easy for us to trust man while we're sitting and we ask somebody, okay, I need you to bless me. I need you to help me out. My bill needs to be paid. I need about $165. What can you do to help me? We watch them. We've made it so convenient to trust man more than it is to trust God. We can sit on our phone and transfer money from one bank account to the other.
Mm.
And so we're watching them. Okay, you're doing that right now. Okay, I got the money. But when we say, God, I got this house note and it's behind 3 months. You can't see God pick up the phone and transfer the money over to you.
Mm-hmm.
What you have to do is you have to wait until God makes the way for you. Well, maybe he's not going to transfer money, but maybe he's going to give you favor and alter the bill, number one, or he may even say, okay, I'll wipe it out the system altogether.
Mm-hmm.
See, I'd rather trust God because you give me $165, I'll pay my bill. I'd rather trust God and say he'll wipe it clean.
Yes.
I like how that works.
Mm-hmm.
That means I don't have to pay for anything else. But you never know what God is going to do. But you've got to trust him that he knows what he's doing when we can't see what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
So my great expectation from God is that I'm going to lay on my face before him. Because truly, I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God because he calls me friend. And if he calls me friend, real friends know how to stick closer than brothers. Not only that, but real friends, as we call them nowadays, our ride or die, they are willing to go beyond. There's no greater love than what Christ has done for us. And
amen.
If you can't find the friendship that is greater than friendship, what Christ has done for us, then you have not sought after the things of God. That means you don't really know him. If you can't see the passion that God, Jesus Christ, had for the people of God, that he would even lay down his life for us, who wouldn't serve a God like that? I don't know many people that are living and breathing and walking around that will want to do the same thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
They love you, and it don't mean that they don't love you. They love you. They just ain't ready to die for you.
Mm-hmm.
So you gotta see the fact that you love me enough to die for me. And anybody that can tap into the fact that believes, that, see, this is the thing is, we got to believe and know that he really did what they say he did. See, because when real believers have an understanding about the passion of Christ, they're not Sunday holiday saints. They don't come to church on Easter, Christmas, holiday seasons, New Year's. They come to church seeking after, because why would you do that to me? And since you did that for me, I want to know who my Savior is.
Yes.
I want to know who bailed me out. I want to know who loved me enough not to leave me and cause me to die in my sins. First of all, let me find out what my sins are. What have I fallen into, number one? Then number two, who helped me get out of it? Number three, how in the world can I serve them for the rest of my life? Because I owe them my complete life. But in order for you to understand that, you have to understand the realness of who God is. And when you don't know who the realness of God, you're not going to be in the place where you understand. So, of course, I know of God, but I don't know God. And that is the thing of many people today. I know of God, but I don't really know God. And so sometimes we have to have a experience with God for us to understand and chase after the things of God. Well, it was Saul, whose name became Paul later on, when he met Jesus on the road of Damascus. He says, "Paul, Saul, why persecute thou me? First of all, who are you? Lord, who are you? I'm the one that you've been persecuting. I'm the one that you've been taking people out for. Now I'm going to give you an experience of who I am. I'm going to get you an opportunity to know who I am for myself." And he allowed Saul to be led away blind so that he will not be distracted by anything else. And he has to sit down and listen to the voice of God and commune with God. Sometimes you need to just get everything out of the way. Take that opportunity and talk with God. The Bible says in Philippians 4 and 8, it says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good report, if there is any virtue and if there is any praise, meditate or think on these things, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me. These do, and the God of peace will be with you. Now, my thing about this, in verse 9, it says, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. Not what you saw everybody else do. Not what you saw the minority do. You know, I really get in situations in life, and I really do ask myself the question, what would Jesus do? And I know some people say this in a joking manner at times, but I really ask the question, when I don't know what to do, when my back is against the wall, I ask the question, Jesus, what would you do right here? Because I'm at a loss. Because you can be in a position where you can do the wrong thing, and it affects those who are surrounding you to walk away from God. So that's why we have to be very careful as people of God, in the kingdom of God, in Christendom, to understand that while we're walking in God, we have to pray and not cease from praying. Because if I allow myself to do what I see others do, it's going to cause me to fall. And if I fall around the wrong people, they may not be able to handle my fall.
Right.
And they will fall as well,
right,
and never regain standing back on their feet,
right,
because they are babes in Christ. That's why we got to be careful what we do around
That's
people
right.
who are babes in Christ. And so, Lord, so that I don't fall, please allow your spirit to dwell in me. Don't let me go.
Yes.
Speak to me. That's why I thank God for the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost gives us, leads us and guides us and gives us understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And what it does is when our flesh wants to go in a direction it ought not go, the Holy Ghost will speak to you. Mm-hmm. Anybody who's on this phone or on the internet, if you know that you have the Spirit of God in you, God lets you know. Don't do that. Don't go
yes.
there.
That's right.
Let that one go. Walk away. But God will put an uneasiness in your spirit. It's called discernment. And a lot of times we say, I just don't feel right about this right here. Something's not right about this individual, or something's not right about the place I'm at. Don't ever be afraid to get up and walk away from people who don't mean any good, who are ungodly. Don't be afraid to get up and
Amen.
Walk out of a place that does not have the Spirit of God in it.
Amen.
Because I promise you, if I'm in a place of satanic worship, I'm out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've built too much up in my spirit to allow anybody to pour anything, any other language that is not a God language in my life. Bible lets us know in verse 4. Finally, my brother, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. God wants you to be happy. He wants you to be in a place where there is a smile on your face. I've never seen so many people who are in Christendom who are unhappy. But God is letting us know, rejoice. And he doesn't say just rejoice. He says rejoice in the Lord always. And then he repeats himself. And again, I say rejoice. So you've got to learn how to shift that thing in you that's keeping you bound. And it's true. The Bible lets us know laughter is a medicine. God gives us different things that we know that in his word to help us get out of the stuff that we're in. I'll watch a hilarious movie. I will watch a funny movie. I will do what I have to do to get out of a slump. Because I've had a good day. You can have a wonderful day. And all you need is one somebody to enter the room and change your whole and alter your whole disposition and your whole mindset. Because I really found out that it's easier to pull somebody down than it is to pick them up. Because they're in a position, when they're in a position and they're on the floor and they're pulling you down, they have more leverage than the one that's trying to pull them up, especially when the person is so heavy and not willing to get out of what they're in. How do you pull somebody out of what they're in when they're not willing to get up? So you've got to understand that there's some things that God is going to give you spiritually that you could only get if you lay your face before God, commune with God. We talk to people every day. We talk to friends every day. We have to speak. You know, a lot of times the Bible lets us know to pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean you have to drop to your knees and bow your head every time you pray. I can commune with God sitting at my desk at work. And not make a scene in front of my whole entire job just so that I am outwardly praying to God, to my God. I don't have to do that. But first of all, my prayer with God is personal.
Mm-hmm.
It's not corporate.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm communing with God. I'm having a conversation with God. It's a private conversation. And I can do that in my spirit without uttering a word. Because I'm tapped into God. I tell you, real prayer warriors are praying in their sleep, and they don't even know it.
My God.
Mm-hmm. I have woken myself up praying mm-hmm. to God.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want to tap into the things of God, because there's some things I am learning that the only way I'm going to get the things that I need from God's hand is come through
mm-hmm.
fasting and praying.
Oh, wow. That's good.
Put my plate down and talk
that's
to God.
Because mm-hmm.
you really can't talk to too many people with a full stomach, because they're not hearing anything you say. Because
mm-hmm.
they got the itis, first of all. Once they took that last morsel of food and they said, oh, I'm full. If you're full naturally, you can't really fill up spiritually because you don't want to hear anything. Because you have zoned out, especially if you're one of those people who eat and fall asleep. You're going to be in the middle of a conversation and they'll fall asleep right on you. Why? Because they are tapped into the natural but have not tapped into the spiritual. And so, people of God, know this, that what God has for you, some things you're going to have to push the plate away, and you're going to have to commune with God. And you're able to do that. But I'm telling you, when you tap into the things of God, there's nothing that God would withhold from you. Nothing that is in his will. Let's make it clear. Because some of the stuff, and when you are in the will of God and you really know God, you're not going to ask God for things that you don't that God would not want for you, and that's the truth.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
You're not going to ask. You're not going to ask for anything of a sinful nature,
mm-hmm.
because you become a product of your environment. And if I'm always around God, if I'm always speaking to God, if I'm always communing with God, the things I'm going to want from God is the things of God. And so while people are running after cars and homes and money and different things, those are benefits. But when you tap into the things of God and want more of him,
yes.
Can I tell you, it just works. It untangles everything in your life that you don't need. But you got to understand that relationships take progress. It takes time to gain a relationship. Don't think because now it's the same thing with people who think they're safe. They come before I'm saved. I don't have to do anything else. I can still do whatever I'm doing and still be saved. No, no, that don't work like that. You got to, there's a change in your mind. There's a change in your heart. There's a change in your spirit that has to take place. And it doesn't happen overnight for everybody. And the other thing is that you can be in church all your life. And this is the sad thing, be in church all your life and don't know who God is. You've only been in his presence. His presence has ever been in you. That's a hurtful thing.
Yeah.
To just be walking around God, and never tap into God.
Mm-hmm.
That's like going to the promised land, like Moses, seeing it but not entering it.
Wow.
You heard about it. It was promised to you. You were told about it. You were able to see it, but could not enter it. And you're walking around like the children of Israel for 40 day journey, and never knowing God. That's lost. That's someone who is lost. Because you're around his presence, and we take on the form of godliness because we've been around it, but have never accepted it. There's a difference. See, you can dance and you can shout before the Lord, you can worship before the Lord, you can do all those things because you've done it out of what you've seen. But if you've never gotten to a place of worship and never felt the presence of God in your life, you are missing out on some of the greatest things that your life could ever experience while you walk on earth.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So what it really is, God's presence coming to earth, tapping down on you to the place where he infiltrates your spirit, I promise you there's nothing like it. There is nothing like it on earth. It's so much to the point when the presence of God is so rich in the midst of his people, you don't want to leave. You don't want to leave. And so imagine having that opportunity every day of your life, having the opportunity to have the presence of God and the presence of God being in you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't miss out on the things of God that's in his hand because you're not willing to lay on your face.
Mm-hmm.
If he's big enough to have the whole world in his hand, and all you asking for a little bit of it, of a part of his world.
Mm-hmm.
If I can just have a little part of his world,
mm-hmm.
because if it's in his hand, I can get what is in his hand if I can get on my face.
Mm-hmm.
And he will not withhold anything from you. Because he lets us know in John, 3 John 1 and 2. He says, I want you to prosper and be in health. God does not want you ill. God does not want you sick. God does not want you penniless. I don't care what people outside of church say that you're supposed to live this modest soul life broke. That's the devil is a liar. That is not true.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
People who speak against prosperity is not true. How my father mm-hmm. going to have a cattle on 1,000 hills and I don't have money to buy a bottle of soda?
Mm-hmm.
That's not how God works.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how that's how people want God to work. God is rich in houses and land. He holds the power of the world in his hand. That's a song we used to sing. But people want to make you believe that you're supposed to be broke when that is not the things of God. How can I have the peace of God and be broke? Because if I'm broke, I'm going to worry.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't have the things that I need to supply for my children and my household, it causes me to worry. So it is not God's will or desire for you to be a broke child of God. It is not the will of God for you to ride around in a hoopty when he has the ability to give you greater. You may be riding in a hoopty now, but later on, your destiny is to be greater. How can I show how great God is if I've never had the greatness of God?
Well, that's good. That's good.
How can I tell anybody that God is a God that takes care of his children and we're broke? But you should take care of your children. Fathers, take care of your children. Mothers, take care of your children. But then you try to tell me that God don't take care of his children? That it doesn't work like that. I can get whatever in my Father's hand as long as I acknowledge the fact that he is my Father. I have the right to what's in my Father's hand because I am his child.
Yes.
And when you know who you are, you can ask for what you want because you sit down and you have a communication with your Father. You have a communication, and he communicates with you. I never forget whenever I needed something from my dad. I never went to my father thinking I'm not going to get it. I don't know what he was going to say, but I was going to ask. And watch this. I boldly went to my father because he was my father.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be as comfortable going to somebody else's father because I don't have a relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
But if I needed $10 from my father, Dad, can I get $10? That's exactly how it came out. Daddy, can I get $10? Because if I know he has it, and if he had it, he would give it to me. He was going to further ask me what I needed for. Because he didn't watch this. He doesn't want me to waste what he has. And so if he worked hard for it, he don't want me to waste what he has over some frivolous things that I don't need. And so that's why sometimes God don't give you what you ask for because it's not what you need. It's some stuff that's going to get you into a place where you don't need to go to or need to have or that's going to alter and change the destiny of your life. So sometimes God does say no, believe it or not. But the Bible lets us know to boldly walk up to the throne of grace and ask what you want from God. You can do that if you're a child. You can do that when you know your Father. And how do I get to know my Father? I lay before my faith, and I lay in his presence, prostrate before him, I commune with him, and I build a relationship with my Father. And watch this. There are people who have fathers but have no relationship.
Mm-hmm.
They're just like that person to be around his presence but have no relationship. You don't want that for yourself. You don't want that. God does not want that for the body of Christ. Tap in, get to know him. Understand him, that he is a God that is willing to hear from you. And not only that, he's a God who is willing to give to you. It's in his hands. All you got to do is ask for it. God bless you.
Amen.
And each and every one that's on this line. We have just, I done went over my time, didn't even realize it. But if there's somebody that wants to just add something into that, you may, to help bless the people. Anybody. You got a few minutes. That's it. And I pray that somebody listen.
All the mics are open.
I pray that somebody listens to this and actually moves on it and builds their prayer life to this point. And I guarantee you, when you build your prayer life to the point where your relationship with God has been inseparable, you'll see a change happen in your life. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm just going to have prayer then.
Oh,
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, Pastor Dawn, all I can say, this was a blessing. This word was refreshing. And not only we sat at the table and ate, and the reason why a lot of people's not talking, at least me, is because it has sunk in even more. You know, I just didn't eat, but I'm digesting it. I'm eating it, ingesting and digesting it, because this word was so powerful. You touch on so many things that in relationship with Christ, with God, and the things that, see, he does his part, but we have to do our part too. We have to, like I said, we have to come to him. We have to lay before him and allow him, his spirit to come in, and it was just so much. It was so powerful.
Amen.
I mean, I'm trying to put it into words, but it was just so good. And the part about the fasting and the praying, and it's just things that God has even shared with me already to get back into and refresh. It's a refreshing word. It's a powerful word. And those that are listening, this word can take us further than we even think, further than where we are right now. That's all I got to say.
Amen. Amen. And it will, and I believe it will, and I'm telling you, I'm a believer. Not only am I a believer, but I am a person who has tapped into the things of God. If anybody who knows me know I should not have what I have. I shouldn't be as blessed, and I may not have as much as others, but where I am content.
She's I'm blessed, content
because
I can say.
God blessed me, and it's no goodness of my own. And that's the thing I recognize. I'm only blessed because God gave it to me. There's no other way it could have happened. It's impossible if it happened any other way. I'm learning how to trust God when I can't see what he's doing.
That's the key right there.
So I continue to pray to God because I know that's my source. That is my resource. Your job is not your resource. Lotto tickets are not your resource. Those are ways that you get money. But the reason why you have what you have is because God has given you, because he's sowed, because he gives seed to the sower.
To the sower. You say that many times in church.
Yes. Yeah. Not just sowing into God financially, but when you sow into God spiritually, when you commune with God, that's sowing. I'm sowing into God. You're going to reap the benefits from it. You have no other choice. It's the law of exchange.
That's good.
It's the law of exchange. Given it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I can't give and not get it back. It's impossible. The world says it this way. What goes around comes around. It is the law of exchange. Whatever you give is going to come back to you in some manner. Amen?
Amen.
So I'm going to turn it back over to Elder Clay, and I'm going to have him have last words and let him dismiss us in prayer. Amen?
Amen. Amen. We do thank you once again just for an eye-opener. And I think oftentimes we fall short is our prayer life in developing a relationship. So I know that I truly believe in prayer, and so I do thank you for just speaking on that, as well as to those who are listening by internet. And again, oftentimes we fall short, and it's usually by prayer. So we do thank you for that. We're going to have prayer, and then we're going to close out. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for the woman of God. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for what you have imparted into her. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for all the hearers. We ask, Heavenly Father, that as the word go out, Heavenly Father, that would manifest into each and every one that was listening, Heavenly Father. We thank you for this time. We glorify you. We magnify you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, amen. And we look forward to you next Wednesday. God bless you.
I can begin.